As I heard the story, somewhere in their university years, these two kids got careless, and the result was the pastor's daughter became pregnant by the pastor's son. The news of that was disappointing, hurtful to everybody. These were such wonderful kids. Why did this have to happen? But people forgave. No one was judging, or at least not many. And the parents forgave, and the pastors forgave, and the girl forgave. The problem was the boy had a hard time forgiving himself and accepting forgiveness. How could I have disappointed God, disappointed myself? How could I have let this happen? And he sank into this pit of confusion and some shame. The girl wanted to marry him, but he was just too disoriented, too confused to make that decision. And there were a few that put even more shame on him. You got her pregnant, you ought to at least marry her. And no one could pull him out of this. She had her baby, the pastor's daughter. It was a girl. And the father was bonded with his daughter from birth. Often he would watch her while the mother worked in a restaurant at night. But the two of them, the parents, no longer had a relationship. It was broken. But she was convinced that the father of her daughter was going to be her husband. So she decided to wait. She waited 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, didn't see any other men. I knew both of the pastors, but I knew the pastor of the son better, and I knew from him that often he pondered this parable of the lost son in Luke 15. Often he even prayed through it during the night, anticipating the day his son would come back home to the love of the Father, come back home receiving the forgiveness, and get on with his life. And that father pictured that homecoming parallel with the parable being the day his son would marry the other pastor's daughter, the mother of his child. And he began to anticipate that homecoming day, that celebration day. And one day the father said he noticed something he had never seen before, that the older brother says, "What is all this music and dancing I hear?" And that father got an idea. When his son came back home, spiritually speaking, at the wedding, the celebration feast, he was going to do something he had never done before. He was going to dance at his son's wedding. Now, you would need to appreciate the church background that that man was from to realize how significant that was for him. For he had been raised many years earlier where dancing was at the top of the list of no-nos in that church. But he decided, no one knows the grief I've had waiting for this son to receive the forgiveness and the healing. No one's going to rob me of celebrating over him. He didn't even take dance lessons. He didn't even tell his wife. I was the only one who knew this from him. Well, after 4 years, we heard the rumors. The two pastor's kids are dating each other again. Everyone was overjoyed to hear this. Those two kids were loved by so many people. And 6 months later or so, the day for the wedding came. Hundreds of people were there from both churches. Four pastors were there to do the ceremony. The bride's father, the groom's father, a grandfather pastor, and a youth pastor tied the wedding knot real tight. There was a lot of tenderness in the ceremony. There were tears. There was joy. At the end, they sang the hallelujah chorus, and the new couple went out to the applause of the guest, carrying their four-year-old daughter with them. Afterwards, there's music, and there's food and pictures. But I'm waiting for the end because I'm the only one there who knows what the father of the groom's going to do. And finally, after a couple hours, they put some music on and they say, "Let's have the bride and groom have their first dance," and they do. And then they said, "Why don't we have the two reverends come out here and dance before we open it up to everyone?"